Welcome to the Renovate Podcast. This message was given by Rusty Gerhardt and is the last in the Dangerous Church series. Here's Rusty.
Well, for the last few weeks, hey bud, can you turn me down a little bit? I feel really hot up here. Hey, voice of God. For the last few weeks, I'm kidding, come on. We've been in a series called Dangerous Church. And, you know, as we've been going through this series, it's really got me thinking about the concept of the kingdom of God, right? I mean, what does the kingdom of God really mean? I've heard a lot of different definitions over the years. I actually had a Jehovah's Witness come to my door just a couple of weeks ago. And, I mean, she was really nice. She was really a very, very nice gal. I was just kicking myself that I actually answered the door when she knocked on it. But, you know, she started talking to me all about God and all about the fact that I needed God. And I'm thinking there and I'm thinking, yes, I really do, you know. And she started reaching for her Bible. She said, you know what, I'm just going to read something out of my Bible here. Have you ever read any of it? And I said, well, you know, I dabble, you know, I dabble every once in a while. I just did not want to get into some big theological discussion with this gal. And so, you know, she starts bringing her Bible out, and she read some passage in like Amos or something obscure or whatever. And she said, you know what, have you ever heard of the term the kingdom of God? And I said, well, you know, yeah, I have. And she said, well, what do you think it means? I said, well, you know, I think it might mean, you know, the mission or the purpose that God has here on earth. And she said, well, you know, that's a great guess, but no, that's actually not what it means. And I'm like, really? Okay. And so I said, please tell me what it means. And she said, it's actually the government that God wants to set up here when he comes back. And so I'm like, all right, that's a great answer. Have a great day. You know, thank you for not giving me the Watchtower program that you wanted to give me, you know. But sometimes I think that there's a lot of confusion out there as to what the kingdom of God really means, you know? And so I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is what is the kingdom of God, and why is it so important? Because, I mean, over and over and over, you know, Jesus talks about this concept of the kingdom of God, right? He talks about it in parables. He talks about it in metaphors. He uses it in stories. He talks about it all the time, which actually tells me that it's probably something that's probably very, very important, right? And so basically, the kingdom of God, simply stated, here's what it is, all right? The kingdom of God is really, you know, what he wants to do here on earth. It's his plans, it's his purposes, it's what he wants to accomplish here, and he wants all of us to be a part of that. And see, I think a lot of times, you know, the reason why Jesus talks so much about the kingdom of God is because when we have a proper understanding of what that means, I think we have a bigger or a better perspective on what God is up to, you know? Not only what he's doing, you know, in our own backyard and maybe down the street, but what he's doing all over the world, right? I think I've told you guys before that I love having coffee with a friend of mine, David Raitt. If you guys don't know David's one of the guys on the teaching team here at Renovate. And I love having coffee with him because he gets to travel all over the world. I mean, he travels all over the place. He gets to see what God is doing everywhere, and he just comes back with these amazing stories, you know? And so I get to see and listen to this, and it just blows me away, and I get to see how God is moving, right? That he's real, that he's working in the here and now. And so I'm given this much broader perspective of what God's up to, right? What he's up to both locally and globally. And see, I think all too often sometimes, you know, we can get stuck in just thinking about what's right in front of us, right? What's happening in our own context, where I believe that Jesus wants to increase that vision of ours and see how he's moving in all over the place, you know? Not just in our context, but have us thinking along the context of what's happening in the kingdom of God. And so when we were devising the mission and the vision of our church, I wanted to keep in mind this global thought process, right? This global and local thought process that God was up to with his mission and his vision that he was doing. And so here at Renovate, you know, we've always been about simply helping people find and follow Jesus, right? I mean, you guys have written that down for weeks now. And that thought process, it doesn't matter if we're right here, if it doesn't matter if we're wherever we're at, we want to help people find and follow Jesus. And so it was out of that mindset that I actually decided to launch this series, Dangerous Church. Because I wanted to look at what the values were of what being a follower of Jesus Christ really meant. What those values were that God wants to have in our lives, right? And so things that we're to value, things like service and obedience. Where we're to value, you know, risk over security. Where we're to value loss over gain, generosity, compassion and grace, right? That these are true byproducts of a life that's lived with Jesus. These are indicators of a heart that is fully devoted to God. And so when we first started this series, my thought was that, you know what, I wanna paint a picture of what we want to be here at Renovate Church, you know? Of what we want to be around here, kind of cast a vision of who we're going to be, right? That we're going to be, you know, grace-given, that we're going to treat people with respect, that we're going to be radically inclusive, yet biblically firm at the same time, right? And so that was the thought process that I had when I went into this. But, you know, the more and more that we got into it, the more and more that I started looking at it, the more and more that, you know, the leadership team started looking at what we were doing, I really felt like God wasn't taking us along that path, that actually God was taking us along the path of, it's not just what I want you to be here at Renovate, but it's what I want you to be in the kingdom of God, right? And so here's why I tell you that. I tell you that because after a lot of deliberation, after a lot of prayer, after a lot of on my face crying out to God, I've got to tell you that this is actually, we're going to be closing our doors here at Renovate Church. That we're going to be dissolving the church. About a month ago, I have notes here, guys, by the way, just because I can stay on track with what I need to say. But about a month ago, I stood before you guys and I told you kind of where we were tracking, you know, how we were doing financially, how we were doing as a church, you know, and really wondering if we would be able to sustain the church, you know. And unfortunately, the answer that we've come up with is no. That we aren't able to actually sustain what's going on. And so, in just a second, I'm actually going to give you a chance to have some questions or answers or Q&A session in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, I just wanted to kind of explain what was happening. And so if you would just hold your questions until then, that would be great. But about a year ago, I and the leadership team, we thought through this and we said, okay, here's our goals that we want to accomplish for the next year, right? Here's the things that we want to see happen over the next year. In order to be able to really stay on mission, stay with that vision that God had given us to help people find and follow Jesus, not only here, but in our community as well. And so that's what we thought along. And so some of the goals that we had set was that we thought, you know what, Lord, at a minimum, let's just say that we just increase our people by 30 people, you know, let's just do that. You know, if we, at a minimum, God, that's what we're saying. If we just hit 30, then we're going to just keep on going. Thank you, Lord. Financially, we said, you know what, we wanted to see, you know, an extra couple $1,000 a month. And that was really just so that we could be able to bring on some key leaders into some various roles, as well as pay some of the leaders that we already had, you know. And so these weren't far stretched out there goals of saying, Lord, either you give us 5 million people here. But it was just, God, here's a few things that we know is going to have to be so that we can be sustainable, right? And so that was our thought process. Well, over the last 6 months or so, the leadership team and I have been taking a pretty in-depth look at the church, trying to figure out, you know, if we're accomplishing that mission, trying to figure out the best course of action for our church, i.e., if we continued staying on the trajectory that we were staying, would we be sustainable? Again, the answer was no. And so again, as I have been for months now, I got back with God and I said, Lord, I'll do anything. Whatever it is you want, you just have to show me, because I'm not really that smart of a dude. So you're just going to have to make it real clear, you know, what it's going to be. That if we move forward, I need doors open. If we close down, I need doors closed. It has to be clear. And so I cried out to God. And for the last, I don't know, month or so, there's been some doors that have been closing. And as we look at that and we look at sustainability, I know that this is of God. This is, I'll just tell you, it's been the most difficult decision of my entire life. Period, bar none, the most difficult decision of my entire life. I felt like running this morning because I was like, I don't want to have to do this, God. Take this away from me. And it's a difficult decision because of a couple different reasons. I mean, one, this was our dream, right? Those of you who are with us from the beginning, I mean, this was our dream that we wanted to build a place or build a church where you know, people could experience God. You know, where it didn't matter what your religious background was. It didn't matter what your political affiliation was. It didn't matter what your lifestyle was. That we just simply wanted you to come and experience Jesus, right? That's what we wanted to do. And I got to tell you one thing, though, guys. It hasn't been a failure. 127 people have either surrendered their life to Christ for the first time or resurrendered their life to Christ since being here at Renovate. And when you look at the church size that we have, say it's a church of 100. That's a pretty big stinking stat. That's a pretty big deal. And God has done all of that. And we've been able to be a part of seeing Him do that. And that is phenomenal. So guys, this isn't a failure. But it is something that God is leading us down. You know, it's also a really tough decision because, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm saying, God, you know, and all I have come in my mind is a picture of you guys. People who have poured into this place and just giving and serving and being there and all the effort that you guys have put into it. And so I've agonized over this decision. I mean, I don't really sleep all that well, okay? But I've agonized because of you guys. Because you guys have meant, you know, a lot to me. And so before, you know, I go any further, I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for helping others. It's a big deal. And I really want to commend you in that because I think that we have a great congregation. I really do. And so here's the plan, okay? Here's the plan. Here's what's going to happen. Next week will be our last week here at Renovate, okay? I want to rock this place out, all right? Seriously, this is a celebration week next week. I'm not kidding. And so here's what we're going to do, okay? We are going to have a family service. What that means is everybody, adults, kids, everybody are going to be in here. We're going to hang out, have a great time. If you've got two and under, we will provide childcare for that because I still want you, mommy and daddy, to have a good time too, you know? You got a little two-year-old running around. It ain't going to be too much fun. I know. I'm going to put my two-year-old back there. And so we're going to have a family service in here. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some extended time of singing. We're going to receive communion together, and we're going to be able to baptize some people in this place next week. And if you guys have not been around when we baptize, it's a ruckus in here, okay? It's as if, you know, the Broncos ever scored a touchdown. That's kind of how we treat it, all right? Seriously, I mean, when people come up, we are just woof! Through the roof, we love it because we want to just commend people for obedient steps in what they're doing. And if we really are about helping people find and follow Jesus, that is a big deal for us. And so I really, really, really encourage you, do not circumvent this, okay? It is a celebration weekend and we want to say, way to go, God, for what you've done, right? We want to do that. Do not miss that service, please. Celebrate with us. Be a part with us. Be the family that God has already been creating here. I would love for that to happen. Here's the second part of the plan, okay? Second part of the plan is this, is that, you know, obviously, when I go through this and I start thinking about, you know, what is it that I want the most? I'm kind of selfish that way. What is it that I want? What's my greatest desire? My greatest desire is that the relationships and the wins that we have seen here not go away. That the spiritual growth that has begun here not just go away, right? And so here's how we want to try to help with that, okay? There are a number of great churches out here in Parker. There really are. There's some churches that are very similar to ours. There's a very large church called Southeast Christian. I don't know if you guys have ever been there or seen it or whatever. It's a large church. You guys, it's a good church. I know some of the leadership there. There's also a church plant here called Epic Church, which is a new church. They're just a few months old. I've never been to a service, but I know the lead guy, and I know his heart, and I know what he wants to do. And they're very similar to us in the way their philosophy of ministry. And so there's a couple churches here in Parker that I know you'd be able to plug in and be able to grow in those churches. However, my family and I are going to be going to a church called Plum Creek Community Church. It's a church in Castle Rock. And so I know that might be too far for some of you. I hope that you'd come and check it out. It is a phenomenal church. It's a church that we went to before we began Renovate. We think it's great. I love the league. I love his staff. I love everything about the church. I think it's awesome. It really is. I mean, they're about 4 years old. They got like 900 people or something like that, just a great guy with a great heart. And so if you would like to come with us to Plum Creek, we'd love to have you. We got two services, one at 9:15, one at 10:30. All you football fans, you can go at 9:15, 10:30, we're going to go so we get an extra half an hour of sleep. I just think that's great. And so we're going to be going there at 10:30 in the morning, Plum Creek Community Church. You can look it up at plumcreekonline.com if you'd like to do that. But I really encourage you. I want to keep this together. You guys have formed relationships with each other. I've formed relationships with you, and I would love to be able to keep that together. And so 10:30, Plum Creek, Castle Rock, Rusty G and his family will be there. So there you go. Before I get into any more logistics or anything else, let me just open it up to you guys. Do you have any questions or comments that you want to make? Feel free. Obviously, around here, you guys have heard me say it before, we are a lights on, windows open kind of church, which means I'm going to be completely open and honest with you about what's happening. And I just want to give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you may have. Kelly. The driving force is actually sustainability. And so what I mean by that is that if we look at our church and we look at the way we've been tracking, if the finances weren't there, no big deal. It's a big deal, but we still have to be able to pay our bills. Are we paying our bills right now? No, we're still making under budget. And so we are not able to pay all of our bills. I could work with that if our attendance was actually higher. And it's not that I care all about numbers, guys. Please, I think that you know my heart. That's not. But if the attendance numbers were higher, then we could work with that and say, okay, we can teach giving. We can come together. We can say we're a family and keep moving forward. But the attendance numbers have also been dropping every week. And so when you see both trends going down, and I'm not talking over just a couple of weeks, I'm talking over a couple of months, in our highest time of potential growth during the season, it doesn't bode well for January, February, March, all the way through the next summer. And so rather than limp out and basically go until we die, which I don't know if I completely agree with that either, I think it takes a lot of courage to shut something down as well. But rather than do that, stopping it now is in the best interest of everyone in the church. Does that answer your question? Sure. About 15 to 2 grand every month. And that budget was $5,500 a month. And so seriously, we're not talking a $10,000 budget because anyone's making 90 grand. We're simply talking a budget that was very feasible, and we've been coming up with a shortfall. The $10,000 were actually going to help us sustain, and so I knew that if we are coming in $1,500 under budget monthly, that would help us make that up for the next, until our growth period is done, which is Mother's Day in May, Yeah, I mean, basically what we were doing was we were trying to not only cover what we were lacking, but also push us forward. And so if we were going to do another mailer or whatever type of marketing or advertising we were going to do for the church, that money would have helped us continue being able to do that, as well as honestly provide, maintain the salary for my wife and I, our family, which is necessary for us. But yeah, that's, it's just me probably not being clear. Thank you. Come on, give me some more. I love that answer. Chuck is getting baptized next week, and I'm just being honest, one of my fears is like, all right, dude, if I say this right now, are they going to be like, no, we're out. We're not getting baptized. I love that. I love that. That's awesome, because we want to celebrate that too, bro. You know how excited I was when I got that phone call or saw it on the card. I was like, awesome. Anyway. Yeah, Logan. You're still in? See, I love you, dude. That's amazing. And seriously, man, I mean, we're a family here, guys. I mean, we have been. And you know, I just got to I'm honored to be able to do that for you and with you. And so it means a whole lot to me that I can do that. And so, rock on. I know. And I love you, too. Single mom right there. Actually, I don't think so. I think, well, looking and needing, yeah, there's a lot more that need it, right? I know that in Parker, it is a different animal. It just is. We've done this before in different locations in different parts of the country, and it is a different animal, I'll tell you that. But I think that this message resonates with people across the board. There's just different reasons why things don't happen, you know, and whether that's, you know, decision, and it is some decisions that I've made in order to propel, you know, obviously I haven't made all the right decisions, and so there you go. But it's also, they actually call this place the Church Planter's Graveyard. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but they call Parker the Church Planter's Graveyard. And it's because, you know, I guess in Parker, some of us have an idea that, you know, bigger is better or whatever, or that established churches is what we need to be at or whatever. Or we come with a Bible Belt mentality that, you know what, not everybody is welcome and you have to wear a suit and all of that kind of stuff. And again, you know, we wanted to do something different than that, you know. I don't think if you wear a t-shirt and jeans, it matters if you wear a suit and tie. It doesn't matter to me. And I don't think it matters to God. part of it is our city. Part of it is just, you know, maybe some key things that maybe we could have done differently. But I still think that the message resonates or needs to resonate as well here in Parker. And so, obviously, one of the things that you guys can do, and one of the reasons why I played that video, and one of the reasons why I talked about the kingdom of God, is because I want us as a church and as a family in the kingdom of God, because we are the church, right, to go out there and still speak the same type of message. Doesn't matter your background. I want to show you Jesus. I don't want to show you religion. I want to show you Jesus. And that's what we need to be about wherever in the world it is that we go. I just selfishly hope that all of you come to Plum Creek with us. Just I think that's cool. Anyway, any other questions? Yeah. Well, thank you, bud. What's great is that you're actually clapping for yourselves. No, I love that. Like, I never, ever, ever wanted to build a church that was about Brittany and I. Ever. And that you guys have just plugged in. And I think that's amazing. And so thank you for that. I mean, that blesses us as a family more than anything else. Anything else? Yeah, dude. Last week we started putting out the resume, right? I started revamping that, dusting the cobwebs off, that kind of thing, and sending that out. I've met with a few people here in Parker, and so our desire is to stay in Parker and be in ministry. It's our passion. It's what we love. It's who we are, you know? And so we want to stay in that. Now, if there's another job that you guys know of as an electric engineer or something like that, I'm not qualified. Anyway, that's what we would like to do. Now, on the other side of that is, and, you know, David, I appreciate you asking that question because it shows that you, you know, care about what we do. One of the things that we have, and I'm just going to let you guys know this up front, and that is we are going to still be receiving offering for the next couple of weeks. And for the remainder of the year, we can always give online at renovatecc.com. But the reason why is we still have bills that need to be paid. And so if any of you would like to continue giving in that endeavor, that's great. We really do appreciate that. Until you find a church home, you know, once you do, please use that money at the church home and let God use that to multiply what's going on. But if you feel so inclined, we do have some bills that still need to be paid. And so that would really be a big benefit and a big help to us. So, thank you. Any other questions? There. Well, I can tell you that what we value is people's lives being changed, period. It is what God gave me those two words when we first started this church, change lives. And so that stat that I gave you guys is a big deal to me. And it is what has kept us going and going. And even though we were under budget and barely making it as a family and all of that, that has been my wife and I our driving force, period. And so as what we really value, I mean, that's it. Now, obviously, there are some business side tangible things that we need to look at, too. And yes, those are standard metrics. Saying that, you know, this is the difference between a church and a business, even though church, some parts are business-like, is that, you know, you have to live by faith as well and cry out to God and say, God, what are you doing and what do you want us to do? And so, you know, even though just the metrics might not add up, which they haven't added up for months, I have still been unwilling to make this decision up until now because I've been saying, Lord, I don't think that you're ready for us to stop. I think we're at that point now. And so it's a different mindset. Yes, there's metrics, there's things that I value, but there's also the God factor, you know, that I've been seeking on my face for months, a couple years since we started this place. Any other questions for me? Yeah. We will be. We will certainly appreciate your prayers. I can tell you that. Yeah, it's tough for our family. It's tough for the team. It's tough for all of you guys. I mean, I know how hard it is to find a church that I love and I plug into. I know that. And so, you know, my prayers are out there for you too. And so here's the deal. Here's the deal. We have prepared some, I baked them myself, muffins. I didn't bake them. You wouldn't eat them if I made them. But there are muffins and orange juice and coffee back there in the foyer. There are people that are going to be wearing green tags that say, you know what, how can I help? These people know what's going on. And I know that sometimes this is a very extroverted exercise here, right? Those of you who are extroverts will ask the questions. Those of you who are not, that won't. And so there's going to be a team of people out there that can answer any question that you have. as well as I will be out there myself too if you have a question for me. And so we can do that. But at this point in time, we are going to go ahead and receive an offering. I guess the ushers are ready to go. Guys, come on. You can come on forward. And so, again, I appreciate if you'd like to continue giving, that's great. We appreciate that. If not, I completely understand that as well. And so I'm just going to pray, and then we can go from there, okay? Father God, Lord, I am not the senior pastor of this church. You are the senior pastor of this church. And God, we submit to your leading, we submit to your leadership, we submit to what it is that you are calling us to do. And we also thank you, God, for everything that you have allowed us to be a part of while here. The privilege that it's been to be able to see changed lives, the privilege that it's been to be able to be, you know, influential in that, whether or not we were simply greeting people at the door or taking care of our children or whatever it was, God, that you used us to impact 127 people that we know of. And so, Lord Jesus, that is a privilege and that is an honor, and I thank you so, so much for that. And so, God, I pray for next week. I pray that as we celebrate who you are, that you will just impress upon us the joy that you have in each one of us, because we have been obedient to you and we served you and we said, God, this is your church and your kingdom. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to celebrate that. And so next week, God, we just pray that this house just rocks. Holy Spirit, and fill this place and fill our hearts. Meet us at our point of need. And meet us at our point of joy. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ushers, please. Guys, I love you. I know that sounds cliche or whatever, but I do. And I love our community, and I think that we are, if we are who we need to be, we can have an impact in our community as well. And so I just challenge you to go forth in that. Plug into a church. Be a part of that. But also just be a part of the people around you as well, helping them find and follow Jesus. I'll see you next week.